This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for praying with me. Please pray for me. I can certainly use that as well. I pray for you all the time. And I'm just so glad to be able to do it together now. This is the time of day. So set your watch or your phone or your computer or whatever device you use. And remember, every day at this time, we'll gather together and pray. We've got a lot of people joining us, not only across the continental United States, but we're joined with our brothers and sisters around the world, Germany and Italy and South Africa and Australia. And we had letters from people all over the place saying, hey, I pray the chaplet with you every day. Ireland. So good to pray with you, though. Thank you. Because we're all united in prayer. There's no distance with God, is there? Geography doesn't matter. God hears our united prayer. So let's storm heaven together, and we'll ask God for the miracle that you need, that answer prayer you've been seeking. And we'll certainly do that. I received an email today. I think it was earlier today. Maybe it was yesterday. It says, Drew, as per your suggestion to overcome a particular sinful addiction or addictions. We just got done talking about marijuana, but there's all sorts of addictions. There's addictions to alcohol. There's addictions to sex. There's addictions to pornography. There's addictions to gossip. I mean, everybody has their different addictions. As per your suggestion to a particular sinful addiction or addictions, I started to pray the Blessed Rosary through the intercession of Mary and her son. And guess what? I have achieved a victory. And I love that because I'm telling you, that is a. I love the rosary, and these are two powerful prayers, the chaplet as well. God has given us these great prayers, and I've shared with you probably a million times that my own father suffered with an addiction. He suffered with alcohol. You know, he was a great man. I can honestly say he's never once in entire life was ever physical, never hit me once, not in my entire life. And my mother I'd probably be a little more afraid of. You know, but you know, he struggled with, you know, proclivity to alcohol. And it was the rosary that freed him. It really was. My mother would pray rosary after rosary, novena after novena. And, you know, it was a lesson for me. Here's why I'm so confident in prayer. You know, and I share that with you all the time because I've seen the fruit of it. I know that addiction, if you have a loved one that is now addicted, you think there's nothing that's going to help this person. They've been in and out of treatment. They've been in and out of jail. It's either death, you know, it's going to be jail or the grave. And that's often where people end up, right, who are addicted, right? Those are two places. Not with God. And I've seen it. My own father was liberated. My own father was freed. I had other relatives and friends who battled even greater addictions, such as heroin. And they have been freed. Now, one led this one man to a jail cell, but he ultimately was liberated and freed from his addiction. So I just want you to know that addiction is not bigger than God, right? Your cancer is not bigger than God. That financial problem that you're facing, the legal challenge you're facing, that problem in your relationship, that's not bigger than God. It's not bigger than God. I want you to know that. I want you to believe that. You got to pray with that type of faith. I've seen so many miracles in my life. And I often wondered why. And I think it's because I'm meant to share with you with authority, with true conviction, that God does exist, that he's an intimate part of your life, and that he can work a miracle in your life. I've seen food multiply. I've seen statues weep. Been in jungles when the Virgin Mary appeared. You know, I've seen holes in the hearts of babies close up and women bent over with, you know, osteoporosis stand erect. You know, we've seen miracles that defy explanation. You know, and I've seen it, and I believe that's what happens when we come together here. So do me this one favor, if you could. When that miracle does take place in your life, when that answer prayer unfolds, when you say, my gosh, that was the handprint of God, that was his fingerprint all over this, when the doctor says, we don't have an explanation for this, when the case mysteriously gets dropped because of a technicality, you know, when the husband or the spouse suddenly has a conversion or leaves that illicit relationship, write to me and say, Drew, we prayed for this together. And here is the miracle. It's drew@relevantradio.com, drew@relevantradio.com. Put in a line, answered prayer, okay, in the byline. That way it flags my attention. I'm sure I'll see it. And it's drew@relevantradio.com. Send me your answered prayers, okay? I get a lot of petitions. I'm always praying for those as well. And I have the great privilege today of praying with Chris Flood. She's in the studio with me, one of my longtime colleagues here. Chris, good to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Anything you want to pray for?
I would like to pray for Jake and Kathy as they prepare for their upcoming move to St. Louis, and we will really miss them. I'd also like to pray for all relevant radio associates who are experiencing a transition.
Yeah, for those who don't know, my producer Jake, who's been with me six plus years, has just been given another great opportunity, and he's going to move on. And I have the privilege of working with a new producer today. Maggie is being trained by Jake. So Jake's sharing with her all the secrets. Jake, Maggie, welcome. And Jake, fare thee well.
Well, thank you so much, guys. You guys are always going to be family here, so yeah. you're not getting rid of me that easily.
So we have a few more days. Jake will be here to the end of the week, and Maggie, it's always good to have you with us. Maggie worked with Dave Ramsey for a little while, and she was here during the Walk to Mary, and I met her, didn't know I needed a producer, and it's how God works sometimes. Paths cross, and next thing you know, new doors open. So Maggie, it's good to have you here as well.
God's providence, you know?
It is. No, it's God's providence. And you'll hear much more from Maggie, I'm sure, in the days ahead. But let's pray, because as I say, time is the enemy. I've got to get the chapel in before, you know, the automation wants to clip me off. So let's pray for you right now and whatever need you have. And do me one more thing. Please tell others about the chaplet, please. Let's spread devotion to this prayer. Have them join us every day here, and then we'll report God's goodness and mercy. A lot of petitions came in. I'll try to share those tomorrow. If you've written to me, I'm seeing them. I'll try to share some more answered prayers as well. But let's begin. I want to pray for grandparents today on the great feast of St. Joachim and Anne, the grandparents of Jesus. There you go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll go to Michigan City, Indiana. John is listening to us there. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi, Drew. I know I don't have a lot of time, but here 3 or 4 years ago, we went on a pilgrimage, and we went with Bishop Hine from Wisconsin now. He used to be here in Indiana. And we went to Holy Hill, and we took a tour of Relevant Radio.
All right.
And we went to the Lady of Good Help Shrine, and I'm just having a little bit of problems now because I get worried. The wife don't worry as much, and I want to pray for all the little children that are born without limbs and have a lot more health problems than we do.
All right.
And I want to pray for a little bit of a miracle. We've been trying to get my sister to go to the doctor. She finally went. Her labs were good. She does have a mammogram to go to, but we're praying for that miracle. And my wonderful wife, we thought it was a miracle. Her eye was all kind of blurry and everything. We thought it was cataracts, and they found out there was too much pressure on her eye. So they dropped the pressure, and everything was going good, and he took her off the medication. And now, after the medication he took her off of, it raised up a little bit. And tomorrow she's supposed to see a glaucoma expert, we're just asking for our prayers to heal her eyes.
Please. Well, we're going to pray for that right now, John. I'm so grateful for your call, and I know you say you give into a little bit of fear or anxiety. I remember reading somewhere that doubt is one of the biggest insults to divinity. You know, doubting is an insult to divinity, to God. The Lord doesn't want us to doubt. He wants us to trust. He wants us to know he's a loving, tender Father. And I want to entrust right now, John, those beautiful intentions you put forward for your sister, for your wife, for all young children born with health problems, and all the things you just voiced. And Lord, I give you the sick. I give you the those who are filled with anxiety and fear and doubt in this moment. I pray for John and his intentions in particular, but for all those now united with me. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from Richard, listening in Rancho Cuchamonga, California. Hi, Richard. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. True. So I know you like these prayers of Thanksgiving, so I thought I'd give a call in to you. I wasn't able to get on the air on Friday, so I tweeted you my prayer request. It was for my father. He went into the emergency room with a fractured spine from a fall he had about a month ago. And it was undiagnosed, untreated. He went into the emergency room on Friday, unresponsive, and he was had a collapsed lung. So he was on a ventilator. They immediately put him on the ventilator. He was 100% on the ventilator. And over the weekend, he started to come out of it. His ventilator is at 25% now instead of 100%. So he is breathing. He is breathing on his own. The machine's just there to help him out. But it was all the prayers. I could feel them, and I had so many wonderful prayers come in from my father. So
praise
I just
God.
Felt compelled to call you and tell you that. Well, and just one more quick for prayer request is for all of our bishops, the Pope, all of our wonderful priests out there, and for marriages, Lord, or for marriages, Drew.
Great prayers. Hey, Richard, thank you. Let's continue to pray in Thanksgiving for your dad for his complete and total recovery. And I do love that. You know, and Jake will be sharing some Twitter intentions. If you want to send him either email, drew@relevantradio.com or via Twitter, @DrewMarianiShow, we'll get him on. And that's how Richard got through. And look, God knows our hearts and our needs. You know, whether you make it to the air or not, we're united in prayer here. And I know God knows our deepest and most important intentions. And you know, he wants to work things out for the good. And he wants us to trust, not to doubt, and great things happen. So I'm so grateful for that. We pray for the healing of anyone with spine issues right now, anybody with collapsed lungs, anybody with respiratory issues, pneumonia, I pray for that as well. And I lift up troubled marriages. So many individuals, Lord, disenchanted, whose relationships have grown cold or tepid, and those who are headed for divorce or division. I just ask for healing, and especially for the children there. And we pray for those with mental illness, too. So often that is a cause of great division in this. So I lift up that, all of Richard's intentions, and I just praise you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy. In Thanksgiving, as we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole
world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole
world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Jake is monitoring Twitter. Jake, what's coming in?
We're praying for those who are on their deathbeds today. Cindy's lifting up her mother-in-law, Sue, who is actively dying. And we ask for the Lord's mercy on Sue and all those who need his mercy and need his grace. Richard is lifting up his dad who had a fall and fractured his spine. And right now it's at the point where he can hardly walk. He's in a lot of pain. So Richard, we're definitely praying for your dad. Mac is praying for his mother-in-law, Julie, who is in hospice and may also be passing soon. And also Dolores is going through a stressful time right now. She's asking prayers for herself and her family as they're going through a lot of changes, and it's been hard to sort through all that stress right now.
All right. Well, Thank you, Jake, for sharing those, and continue to pray for Richard, as we just heard from him. And we'll go to Rochester, Minnesota next. Karen, I'm sorry, is listening to us there. Karen, good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. I
would like to pray for the health of all of our family members, and I want to pray for the school board members as they make important decisions regarding our students for this upcoming school year. And lastly, I'd like to pray for a dear friend who is really struggling with a work situation right now, and it's causing her a tremendous amount of anxiety. And I just wish peace for her and a sense of what to do to sort all of this out.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling. I would pray for you too, because I know you didn't mention anything personally, and they're interceding for so many others. And Lord, I just pray for her and for her family and for her friend and for all those in these difficult situations, especially those negotiating agreements or having conflicts at work. I just ask for your intercession. The spirit can be there, and any spirit of deception or misunderstanding can be vanquished, and just peace and clarity and wisdom can befall upon all involved. I pray also for all these school boards, for our teachers, for this upcoming school year, for our children, for the end of this pandemic, for clarity and truth to be taught to our children. You know, Lord, there's such division in this country. I pray for healing and give you all of Karen's intentions there as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the
world.
Sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole
For
world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin next. Marion is praying with us there. Hi, Marion.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I am calling in right now for a little newborn this weekend. Her name is Bridget, and she was named after St. Bridget and St. Anne for today.
That's great.
She suffered a traumatic brain injury during birth. She's in critical condition.
Oh, no.
This is the first baby for a very devout young Catholic couple.
Oh, that's so sad.
So if we could lift her up. And then also for my friend who actually called me about this, who is suffering, she is going through a traumatic or a catastrophic illness, and we did see a miracle already during the process, so we're really grateful, but just praying that her stem cell transplant goes beautifully.
Right.
And lastly, for my son Christopher, who suffers from vitiligo, which is depigmentation. He's a beautiful young man, 29, and there's not a lot of cure there. And I'm sorry, one more. In defense of the innocence and purity for all of our children who have a right to it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Marion, thank you. And I do want to pray for anyone who has any skin disorders, especially the vitiligo. That's a tough thing to have. And Lord, so often so many different intentions come in, you know, the loss of hair, and a lot of people were concerned about that. But I lift up little Bridget Ann, anyone with head trauma, give you all the intentions that were just voiced by Marion. I unite these to those who now pray with me. And I beg your mercy, as I pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Sylvia is listening to us in Shorewood, Illinois. Sylvia, thanks for praying with us. Good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling for my niece, Laura. Mm-hmm. She went through a major operation last week. And ever since then, it's been good news and bad news. Mm-hmm. Then it's more good news. And we just hope that you'll get through this. We hope and pray that you'll get through this. We have, my husband and I have been listening to you for over a year now.
Good.
And we enjoy listening to you.
Well, thank you.
We make it. And also thank you for your beautiful book. I enjoy your book.
Well, I'm so glad you got it. I know a lot of people wanted it, and I pray that everybody who ordered it will get it. I do. Everybody who requested it. But Sylvia, let's pray for you too, and we'll pray for your niece, Laura, in the hospital. We'll pray for all those who are struggling emotionally. And Lord, I just give to you all the needs and the wants and desires of those united to me. You told us to come and trust, to trust in your infinite mercy and how you love souls that will trust you, how you call us to have complete confidence in you. And that if we do that, you promised us that you will do everything for us. And he told, I love that promise the Lord gave to Faustina. Souls with complete confidence in me, I will do everything for them. Lord, with confidence, I give to you all who are now united, and I thank you in advance for the way you are working as I pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
A new option at the end of their lives besides burial or cremation.
It's human composting, also known as recomposition.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, something else, huh? Let's look. We've talked about this recently, and it's a little macabre, but I'm going to share with you. But as always, I try to give you a look at life you're not going to get anywhere else, right? These words do not belong together. Human composting, right? Does that make sense to you? Human composting. Our culture, I swear, it has become more confused about the human body. And I think this, I honestly think there's a spiritual thing behind this. Gosh, it's such a hatred, such an enmity for the human race. And I see it manifest in so much, in so many different ways. I saw an article over the weekend and it said, is nudity the norm? You know, in a country that loses its values, we begin really to, the boundaries on everything get lower, don't they? I mean, you see the acceptance of pornography, the gender fluidity issues, you know, there's this, all these sexual issues going on. You take a look at the body in the womb, the value of life there, the value at the end of life. But what happens even after you're dead, right? We talked about plasticized bodies and other things, but I think our culture's become more confused about the human body because we're not only seeing that confusion at the beginning of life or in the middle of life you know, but we're seeing it even after life is over, after we're dead, you know, after the body no longer breathes. You heard the discussion we had a few weeks ago about the process where a corpse is immersed in an acid bath. If you missed that, you should go back. I don't know what week it was, but maybe do a search of my podcast. It's well worth it. It was a great conversation that we had with Richard Peterson. He's going to be stopping by again. We had this conversation where they took a body, they immersed it in an acid bath, and the whole thing turned into a sludge, like a sludgy-like material. And then the body's just simply, well, it's put down a drain. And some people, they say, oh, well, what's true? Come on. Compare that to the process of cremation, right? At least with cremation, we have the cremains, right? We have the remains of a body. But there is something worse that I just learned about, and I want to share it with you. And I have a real problem with this. Maybe you don't. You can certainly join me. It's called human composting. It's being promoted right now by a Seattle-based company called Recompose. And here's how it works. I'll give you the lowdown on this. Your loved one dies. You die, right? They take your dead body, and then it's broken down through a process known as natural organic reduction. They place your body in what's a reusable vessel. They cover it with wood chips, and they aerate it, right, which creates an environment for microbes and essential bacteria. Then the body, over a span of about 30 days, is fully transformed into soil. And people who are advocating this are simply saying, hey, we can take the soil and, you know what, we can use it. We can plant trees in it. You know, that way when I see that beautiful weeping willow tree, I'll always think of my mother, you know, or, you know, I can honor somebody who died. I'll plant an oak, and that oak will grow tall and strong and be there for a long time. So the process has been legalized in Washington State. It's been legalized in Colorado and Oregon. California and New York right now are looking at it. They're next in line. If I was to wager, I'm sure they're going to go along with it, right? It is being opposed by guess who? Guess who's in opposition to this process? You're thinking, well, that kind of makes sense. I don't have a problem with this. It's being strongly opposed by the Catholic Church. That's right. The Catholic Church says, hold on a second. You know, the church teaches that the body has an inherent dignity. Right? It's not just a piece of nature, like an animal or an old piece of broccoli or a piece of unused firewood. You know, it's not done for the season. It drops and just decomposes. The human body is the only one, really, if you think about it, created in the image and likeness of God. We are created, you and I, are created in the image and the likeness of God. The New York State Catholic Conference, they wrote to their state legislatures about this, or state legislators, I should say, and I'll share a quick quote from you. They said this. They said, while not everyone shares the same belief with regards to the reverent and respectful treatment of human remains, they say, we believe there are a great many New Yorkers who would be uncomfortable at best with this proposed composting/fertilizing method, which is more appropriate for vegetable trimming and eggshells than for the human body. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about cremation. Let's talk about burial. Let's talk about human composting. You know, we've talked in the past about human beings who want to be memorialized, so they'll have their bodies cremated. They'll have the carbon from the body compressed into a diamond. Somebody will wear it, right? Or they'll be jettisoned into space, right? Or you might have somebody you love right now sitting on your mantle. I stayed at a friend's house one day, and I was unpacking my bag and getting ready to turn in for the night, and over there I see this on the floor, this urn, and I didn't realize if it was like this guy's brother, and I'm like, it wasn't even up in a place, it was just on the floor. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what I want to do with that yet, he said to me in the morning. I said, well, I had to sleep with him all night in the same room, so it's like, oh well, So you really should think about that. Hallowed ground is probably a good place to put that. I'm joined today by Richard Peterson. He's president of the Associated Catholic Ceremonies in the Archdiocese of Seattle. He was with me in the past. I said that was a great conversation with him, so I've invited him back just to walk us through this. If you have a question or you want to join the conversation, I'll tell you, I'm going to open the phones. I don't have them for a very long time today, but here's a number to get in. It's a good time to call if you want to join us. It's 888-914-9149. Richard, thank you for joining me again. It's good to talk with you.
Well, it's good to talk with you again, too, Drew. Very, very interesting world we live in here in our country and the culture. I think you said it very well. It really has a lot to do with faith, with values, and that which people find as important. I think much of what you're talking about has to do with perception that the human body is really valueless once death has come. And yet that's exactly contrary to what the church teaches, and which we believe and we pray every Sunday during the Creed. We look forward to the resurrection, and our bodies are sign and symbol and call us to a closer relationship with Jesus through his resurrection. Our bodies are sacred, as St. Paul says, as temples of the Holy Spirit. So it's not so much of what we can do with a dead person's body, but rather what it is. It is a sacred testimony of faith and deserving of dignity and respect. And I think when we look at the church documents, both in the ritual for Catholic burial and in statements from the Vatican, it really is about that death for the Christian has meaning. And that meaning is rooted in Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And therefore, the human remains must be buried in a cemetery, a sacred space, so that all the community of believers can gather together and pray for the deceased. That's a concept that's lost on so many people these days. The value of community, the value of prayer for the dead, and the value that the dead have in praying for us. We believe in the communion of saints. And so it really is a touchstone opportunity, but we as a culture tend to slide back to, well, what's in it for me? What's the utilitarian purpose? And for some folks, at least it's been advertised, utilitarian purpose for the human body is to turn into dirt so you can grow tomatoes.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, just thinking about that, and I'll grab a couple of calls here. A lot of people in the church says you can cremate a body. Of course, it should be buried in hallowed ground. That changed, as we've discussed in the past. And there's a lot of people who say, well, if you can do that, you know, rather than this whole sludge thing, right? I mean, does doing something in a greener way make it more moral? I mean, there's this case of turning someone into human fertilizer. I mean, burying them, you know, covering them in wood chips, aerating them, and that whole type of thing. I guess for some, they might think that that's more acceptable than, you know, giving somebody an acid bath and dry, you know, putting them down the drain. I mean, that seems totally to lack dignity. Where are the lines drawn in all of this?
I think ultimately the lines are drawn with retaining the human body or its final composition.
Yep.
Integrally. In other words, yes, the Catholic Church has approved cremation for use. It's still not preferred, but it is an option for people. But then what does the Church say? It says those remains are to then be kept together, not subdivided, not kept at home, and buried in a cemetery. The same would go for some would say, and I think it's probably true, much of what is described in what you've described for the composting is, in fact, what would naturally happen to a human body if buried in the ground.
Right.
But the next step is, now what can we do with it?
Right.
Well, we can take all this dirt and plant things in it or do whatever.
Right.
No, what the Church says is the human body buried in a cemetery and then the natural process would take place. And, you know, and many, many Catholics, I think, today are more familiar with what I might say some of the more ostentatious funerals and say, well, that's not really for me or my family. Well, I would encourage people to talk with their local Catholic cemetery. I know here in the Archdiocese of Seattle, so that we can provide families an option, so that they don't look immediately to composting, is a natural burial option. That is really what people did for eons. What that means is burial in a grave that's left in more of a natural condition with native plants and trees, no embalming, simple casket that's biodegradable or a shroud, which allows the body to return to the earth. But again, the body is held in sacredness, is integral. It's not all, you know, scattered or whatever. It's not quote unquote used. It is set aside in holy ground for the sacred purpose that the church calls us to as an expression of our faith in God and in the resurrection.
I love it. My guest today, Richard Peterson, he is the president of Associated Catholic Cemeteries in the Archdiocese of Seattle. We'll take a few of your calls if you want to get in. 888-914-9149. We'll start in Alexandria, Minnesota. Sandy, thanks for calling. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I had a little niece a few years ago that was killed. And her mom had her body cremated. And they made jewelry out of some of her remains. And my mother-in-law got some of these beads. And when she passed away, they were just going to discard them. And I didn't partake in any of the jewelry making. I didn't want any. But when my mother-in-law died, I couldn't let them just discard them, so I took these beads and I have them in my home. And I know that I need to do something, but I don't know what and I don't know how.
Well, you called the right place, Sandy, and I'm glad you got through. Okay, and Richard, that's a pretty simple answer for her, but this is a problem that happens too. I talked about how
right.
You know, people are now looking to turn people into diamonds, you know, and they're wearing them or you know. They're jettisoning them into space. You could even do that with some of your loved ones. But in terms of Sandy's situation, I'm assuming you just get them, you bury these things in hallowed ground. But good, I'll let you respond because there's a couple things there.
I would just like to, first of all, say to Sandy, I'm very sorry. And I can certainly hear and the pain in your voice. And I would say, Drew, that so often people who make what I would call temporary decisions about human remains, they leave it to another family member or future generation to have to actually make decisions. I mean, one decision, as Sandy said, that they chose not to do appropriately is not to dispose. But I hear untold stories of remains in the garbage dump, either purposely or accidentally. Sandy, I would recommend that first of all, speak with your local priest and you share with him what you shared with us today on the air, and work with him to make arrangements in a local cemetery. If you're near a Catholic cemetery, the staff there would be more than happy to speak with you and offer you suggestions for a permanent place for your little niece. You may not have all of her cremated remains, but it becomes important for, number one, her memory and legacy to live on for future generations. Turning into beads and then ultimately discarding them is, in some sense, not in your case, but for many people, it becomes, well, that person never really existed because there's no memory of them after a generation or two.
That's
and
so
then
true.
Who's going to take care of them? So, yeah, it's very, very sad, and I certainly hope that you reach out to your local pastor and if there's a local Catholic cemetery.
All right. Well, thank you, Sandy.
Thank you.
All right. Hang in
thank
there.
You.
It's so true. It's like the story I shared of the cremains that were in that bedroom that I stayed in. You know, it's like it was a second thought. I mean, I didn't even remember, oh, yeah, that's right. That's my brother or so-and-so, you know, and it was just –
I was at a golf course several years ago, and the greenskeeper came up and said, you know, we've had these in the back shed for years. We don't even know who it is, but somebody's cremated remains. Well, I took them, and we buried them with dignity and prayer at one of our local Catholic cemeteries. We don't know if the deceased was Catholic or not. We don't even know the deceased's name. But regardless, it was a human being and a child of God. So, but yeah. There's untold situations, I'm sure, out there like that.
Well, let's go to the phones. Let me take a quick break. When we come back, Mary in Minnesota, you are on deck. We'll take all of your calls. If you want to get in, I have just a few minutes today with Richard Peterson. We're talking about Catholic burial. There's been a number of states that are now trying some very new and really some very disrespectful things, I believe. In fact, the church is adamantly against it.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Drew Mariani is on your radio now.
I gained so much from you guys.
On Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. It's great to be here. I'll grab a few of your calls. If you are just tuning in, we're talking about a bizarre story. It's a reality, though. I mean, it's unfortunate. I saw the story on human composting. And I know those words don't seem to go together. You're thinking, human composting? What are you talking about? This is a phenomenon, or process is probably the right word to use, that's been legalized in a number of states. Washington State, Colorado, Oregon, California, New York are now looking at it, where a dead body's broken down by a process known as natural organic reduction. It's placed in a reusable vessel. They cover it wood chips. They aerate it. Microbes get in there. Central bacteria gets in there. And they claim over about 30 days, you're turned into soil. You're turned into dirt. Then people want to plant things in you, like trees or other things. And who knows what happens? I had shared a couple months ago about a phenomena where the body of the dead would be immersed in an acid bath, and you were turned into sludge. It was a sludge-like material, and just put down a drain. Total disrespect for the dignity of the human body. And as I said earlier, we're made in the likeness of God, the image and likeness of God. You know, you think about what we do to the temple, right? This is our temple, the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, how does all this vary from cremation? You know, and I know cremation has really risen in popularity. Back in 1960, about 3, maybe 4% of those who died were cremated. It was not a common phenomenon at all. You fast forward maybe 50 years, maybe a little more, the number goes up to about 2 in 5 burials now is cremation, maybe even higher than that. You know, it could be, and what's the reason for that? Cost. I mean, the average funeral with a casket, and the burial, it's $10,000. Now, some of you, oh, I can get it cheaper. Well, bottom line, it's really expensive, and a lot of people can't afford that, especially if it's an unexpected death or you don't have a whole lot of money. It's 10 times what it used to be in 1960 to bury somebody, right? But cremation is a fraction of it. So we're seeing all these new approaches and these methods. There's another method that's been developed recently where a body is placed in a stainless steel container. And, you know, as I said, it was flooded with these chemicals. There's a process where you can be turned into jewelry, as we heard an earlier caller say, or turned into a diamond. I mean, a lot of people want to scatter ashes in the sea or over the golf course or, you know, a place that was special to the person. I've invited today for some perspective on this Richard Peterson. He's president of the Associated Catholic Cemeteries in the Archdiocese of Seattle. And if you got a question about Catholic burial, this is a good time to get in. We'll talk about it with him. And Richard, there's so many different approaches to this. Now, bottom line, and we'll take the calls, you know, if you can afford to bury somebody, is that what you advocate for? You know, the casket? It has become cost prohibitive for a lot of people. I think a lot of people would like a regular Christian burial with a casket, but, you know, embalming the body and going through the process, or it just becomes prohibitive. So they say, I can't afford it. I'm going to cremate my loved one.
Yeah, one of the things that we encourage people to do is to pre-plan. Number one, it's the way that you can have your wishes carried out after you've died. Because let's face it, many of the folks that are older, their adult children no longer practice the faith.
Right.
So if they're not left with something that's already pre-planned and prepaid, then the decisions are going to be made by those adult children. And by pre-planning, you guarantee pricing. You have opportunity to pay term payments. Most Catholic cemeteries don't charge interest. It can be paid off over years rather than, you know, a few years, rather than all at once at a very, very difficult time. Plus, at the time of death, it allows people to take the time to be with family, to be with the church in prayer, to use that as a sacred moment, not as a buying moment when decisions can be made in haste and emotionally. Yeah. And that also drives up cost. So pre-planning is an excellent way. And that's whether you choose cremation and burial in the cemetery or traditional body burial.
Well, let's do this. We'll take some calls. We have a few moments left. Let's go to to Alberta, Canada. Donna is listening to us there. Donna, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. This has kind of been on my mind. Like, my father-in-law passed away about 2.5 years, and we cremated him. We did have a service for him. He's not Catholic. He's Anglican. But my mother-in-law's had Alzheimer's for about 10 years, and they thought they wanted to save the ashes. But they actually want to put them in the same urn and bury them together. So they haven't been buried yet, and I'm quite I think they should be buried, but I'm not sure how you look on this.
Okay.
Well, Donna, thank you for your call. You know, it's really not how I look on it or how Drew looks on it. It's really how the Catholic Church teaches. And what the Church teaches is that each person's burial should take place as soon as possible after death has occurred, or in this case with cremation. Now, I'm not going to stand in any kind of judgment over decisions, et cetera, because it's very personal and it's very emotional, and I get that. You know, if it's possible for your father-in-law to be buried in a sooner time frame, that would certainly be more in keeping with what the Church would request. But, you know, I know there's family dynamics and everything else that goes into that. I guess the good news is that there is a plan to bury both people eventually, which is different than cremation, keeping on the shelf, which pretty soon becomes in the closet, then in the garage, and then potentially disposed of inadvertently. So, but I would ask that... suggest that you and your family have a conversation about when is the right time to make this burial. And again, your local pastor and or local Catholic cemetery, if one's available, would be able to help provide some guidance as well.
Right. All right. Donna,
thank you.
Appreciate
that
call.
Thank you very much.
All right.
You're welcome.
Let's move along. Go to Mary in Minneapolis. She's listening to us and has got a question for you, too. Hi, Mary. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Yeah, I'm so grateful to hear about the natural burials because of my personal experience with burying loved ones, and I'm very put off by cremation, and I don't know if I should even say this on the radio, but I will, and it's not gross, but it is. When we sat down with my mother-in-law's funeral director, and they had to, by law, explain to us about how cremation happens, they said, and then after everything is, you know, burnt up, we don't like to, you know, worry you, but it has to go through a grinder. And when I heard that, my heart just was crushed. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, my husband and all the siblings just kind of, I think they were in their grief cloud, and they just let that go right by. And to me, that's just, I think if people really knew what the process is, they would rethink cremation. To me, that's so disrespectful. And painful.
Well, I have to say, since you're calling from Minneapolis, I happen to know the Catholic Cemetery Director of the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, and they have recently opened a natural burial section. I forget which cemetery. It might be two cemeteries, actually. But I would certainly recommend that you make a phone call or stop by for a visit with those folks, and they can provide you more information. I would suspect it's also available on their website, but I don't have that address here in front of me.
Thank you.
Mary, thank you for sharing that. That's an eye-opener for a lot of people, that's for sure. Diane, good afternoon. Yeah, thanks for listening to us there in New Mexico.
Yes, good to talk to you, Drew. You've helped me get through a lot of hard times.
Thank you.
My husband and I signed in our wills and everything to go cremation. I can't even afford my car, which is a 98. Right. I don't want to complain. But luckily his cousin sent money from out east to pay for the cremation. We had a small service. For him, I would have liked to have the whole world see him.
Right.
He has saved people. He was a beautiful singer. He sang how great they are. Oh. People would actually drop and cry. Beautiful. And he was a beautiful man.
Oh,
we were married 53 years, and I'm still grieving. And my daughter's having a hard time. But what we didn't do it for choice. We did it because...
And Diane, I only have a few seconds. I'm sorry for your loss, but in the last few seconds, that's what cremation's for, though, right? That's why the church permitted it, Richard?
Right. Yes, and I would also say that the Catholic Church, the Catholic cemeteries throughout the United States, all are committed to help those who are less fortunate financially. And so please visit with your local Catholic cemetery and see how they can help you so your husband can be buried.
That's Richard Peterson. I'm Drew Mariani. I'll be back.